It is time once again for Open Court with Fairfield basketball coach Chris Casey. Along with the coach, I'm Bob Hueschler, joined by my broadcast partner, the former Fairfield great and Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis. And today we're joined by another former Fairfield great and Hall of Famer, and one who wears a new hat. It's Tyler Nelson, who is the Stags Director of NIL Operations and Player Relations. We're going to get into a lot today, including a complete roster breakdown, who's coming and who's going. But we'll start with you, Tyler, and how you've adapted to your new career. So I would start out by asking you, why did the job interest you, and how was it all laid out to you before you actually accepted the job?
Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me on. It's great to connect with you guys finally on the podcast. Been listening to it for some years now, so thanks for that. But yeah, no, I started in September as the director of NIL player relations here, and it's been awesome. You know, this is something that kind of came along over the summer when I was finishing up playing overseas, and I realized it was a possibility, you know, to come back to Fairfield, the place where I had a lot of great memories, and I knew I didn't know if I wanted to coach or I knew I wanted to be in basketball, but to be able to come back to a familiar place with Coach Casey, who I knew a little bit when he was at Niagara, Taj Benning and some other guys on the staff, obviously Paul Schlickman, athletic director, just to a good environment. And obviously this new landscape of NIL is new and everyone's trying to figure it out, you know, as it goes along. But I kind of got thrown into the fire and I think it's been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. There's been some coaching aspects, you know, where I've been able to be around the staff and help them, but also just building the relationship with the players, you know, following them over the last couple of years. Obviously, we got some new freshmen, some new faces this year, but just to be integrated with them and learn and basically just be an extension to the staff and help Coach Casey, you know, kind of take this NIL contract negotiation, money management off of his shoulders and kind of let him focus on coaching, which is, you know, what he wants to do at the end of the day. So we've had a great relationship so far doing that, and I think we're in a good spot in terms of our infrastructure with NIL, how we do it in terms of our budget, our contracts, how we go about recruiting, roster management, and things like that. So, like I said, I've learned a lot, but it's been a great, you know, first year here.
It kind of sounds as if you've had to, in some aspects, learn on the fly. And obviously, this whole NIL landscape is new to everybody in college basketball, relatively speaking. Outside of Fairfield, did you turn anywhere and talk to anybody about exactly how to approach this brand new position?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, my dad is an advanced scout in the NBA, so I reached out to some people that worked in front offices of the NBA, but also some other, you know, college general managers. Steve Weinman, who was in NBA before, now he's the general manager at Wake Forest for men's and women's basketball there. I also spoke to the former Alex Klein, former Syracuse general manager who was there, who I knew he from back in my AU days in the Boston area, just some people that were in the business. I mean, there's been different people over the last couple of years that have had like assistant coach / general manager positions. My position here is not exactly coaching. I'm around the team every single day, but I'm in with the coaching staff in terms of meetings and talking with them and helping in terms of recruiting, you know, game planning and things like that, which has been great. So I have leaned on some other people that have been in the business, but honestly, it's been a pretty smooth transition because of my basketball background and just knowing how coaches think and being a player and making that adjustment. And kind of the way I see it is like bridging the gap between the players and the coaching staff, obviously with NIL and roster management and how fast things change and players leaving from school to school. I think to have somebody, you know, on your staff that's managing that is super important. I think we've done a great job this past year since I've been here in terms of managing our roster.
And how about externally, talking about the extended Fairfield family? How have you been able to and how successful have you been at developing those important relationships?
Yeah, it's been awesome. We have, you know, great fans, great support here. And obviously, a lot of the people are still involved with the program in terms of the donor side of it and fans that have been here when I was here. So it was easy transition of coming back, seeing a lot of familiar faces, And obviously, you know, the Fairfield basketball community, these fans have been here for a long time following the team. They're not Fairweather fans. They've been following since they grew up in the area or forever. So it's a cool aspect to be able to, you know, see fans at games that were there when I was here playing, you know, 10 years ago, yeah. And also build relationships with the new fans and obviously, you know, new facilities, the new arena and everything like that. I think there's a lot of good things going on here at Fairfield. And so just to be back and be a part of it has been great.
And I think it's pretty clear to everybody who knows what the job entails that the man who is most important in terms of collaboration is the man you're seated across from right now, Chris Casey. And I wanted to ask you, Coach, you are obviously the lead recruiter, but when you have assistants, and now Tyler especially, how does that kind of change the scope of how you approach the whole recruiting process now that you have Tyler who is part of that effort?
Well, first, Bob, thanks for calling me important. I've never been called that before. I've been called a lot of other things, but important hasn't been one of them, so I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you. And maybe to rewind just a little bit to the last item you talked with Tyler about was, you know, former players and so on. He's done an outstanding job in a lot of areas, and reaching out to former players is definitely one of them. He's connected with a lot of those guys, and we want those guys around, you know. We always extend invites to them, and if any of them are listening right now, you have an open invite to come by practice anytime, come by the locker room anytime, you know, game day. You know, a lot of our guys, our players work extremely hard, and it's good for them to see former players who are successful, whether it be in their professions, whether it be professionally playing, whatever it might be. It's good for them to see those guys, and then also for those former players to impart some knowledge on them and some ideas and advice on them. So we encourage that, and Tyler's done a really good job with it. As far as the recruiting goes, Tyler's been the first thing that comes to mind with Tyler's position is, you know, you have a job description, but there's a lot of development to it because it's new, you know. So he's been really, really adaptable to a lot of different things. And, you know, he's extremely proactive, so he jumps in on a lot before you even ask him about it. He's done a great job of relations with the current players, and he's really helped us with recruiting too. You know, staff works really hard in that area with knowing names, guys in this area who are high school players, junior college guys, overseas guys, whatever it might be. And, you know, Tyler's got a lot of AAU connects, and he's also got a lot of connects overseas. And he's helped us with, you know, we really try to dive into guys, not only their talent level, but what they're like, what their attitudes are like, what their makeup is like. And he's got a lot of contacts that's really helped us with that. So he's worked closely with the recruiting just as the other assistants. He's almost like another assistant for that.
All right, let's get into the meat of things, what I'm sure a lot of our fans are waiting to hear about, and that is the roster and who's coming and who's going and how the Stags are shaping up early on as we get ready for the 26-27 season. And before we talk about who's coming, let's talk about first who's leaving. And at the top of that list, of course, is Brandon Benjamin. Now, we all knew, Chris, that Brandon was going to attract a lot of attention from high majors. Was there even more attention coming his way than you had bargained on?
You know, I had no preconceived notions about that. And to be honest with you, we carried on here business as usual with Brandon. He's a great kid. Still comes to all our workouts, all our weightlifting sessions. Just saw him yesterday in the locker room. And I really, you know, I don't know if I look at it the right way, but for me, that's more so his private business with his people. So I really don't, you know, try to get into grilling him about, hey, who's calling you? Hey, where are you thinking about going at? I certainly am there to support him if he wants any advice or any thoughts. And, you know, we give him those readily. But I think it's for him to try to really figure out. And he did. He did a good job. He's going to go to Boston College. And, you know, we support him in that endeavor. And he's always a Stag. You know, he bled for us. He worked hard for us. So he's always a Stag. And he's welcome to come back here, you know, and see us anytime he wants. But yeah, I mean, the year he had, this is the world we live in now, Bob, you know, and you know, you always hope that those guys stay, and we put a big emphasis on trying to retain guys, and we have to a large degree, But it's the world we live in, and there's a lot of offers and a lot of things out there. And, you know, quite honestly, he'd be foolish not to look at them.
I don't think it's talking out of school to share an anecdote that we talked about before we began the podcast, just to give our listeners an idea of how much Fairfield meant to Brandon Benjamin. They have every year here at Fairfield Athletics conducts the Senior Awards Night, and they give out awards across the board. And Brandon was a co-rookie of the year here at Fairfield. When you get an award, you go up and you give a speech. And again, I don't think it's talking out about – and Tyler and Chris, you were both there. He got up to make his speech, and he couldn't get through it because he was so emotional about the fact that he was leaving Fairfield. And Tyler, I want to bounce this to you because I asked you several times as the season was progressing, you know, what are the chances? What are the chances? And you were saying, hey, you know, optimistic, still think there was a chance. But in the end, as I just related, it had to be an extremely difficult decision. And this is for both of you, for Brandon, yeah, when he decided to move on from Fairfield, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just as you were speaking, the type of kid that Brandon is, you know, through all the success he had his freshman year here at Fairfield, he never once uttered or gave you any slight information that he was thinking of what's next or about money. He never once came to me or Taj Benning or anybody that he was very close with talking about what's next. His plan was, you know, he loved it here. He wanted to be here. And that's truly how he felt. I mean, obviously, you know, from my side with, you know, working with a lot of agents and working with him in recruiting and stuff like that, a lot of people reached out towards the end of the year, a lot of agents that wanted to represent him. And he was really, really comfortable here, and I think he wanted to be here. It just got to a point where financially he was getting, you know, offers that, you know, we just, a threshold that we couldn't get to. But he really loved his time here at Fairfield. He's an amazing kid, and I wish nothing but the best for him going forward.
And Joe, I know you wanted to jump in here.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions real quick. I mean, Fairfield has been known to do that to students here, especially athletes. You know, the family thing has been sold here forever. It's a great place. Chris, is there anything that you think in your mind you could have done differently in trying to retain him? It was just the money was too much, like
Tyler
said. Yeah,
no, I don't think so, Joe. Like, you know, to go back to that speech that he made to accept his award and the emotions that he had, and he struggled to get through it because of those emotions. You know, I watched and I thought two things. The first thing I thought was, no, everybody at this university gave that young man a great experience on the court, off the court, whatever it might be. And I don't think anybody could have done anything different because he had a great experience. And then the other part, the other thing I thought watching it was heartbreaking because, you know, it's the world we live in now, but, you know, he's not going to get an opportunity. He's going to do really well. I'm confident of that. But he's also not going to get the opportunity to be part of this great university for the next 3 years. And our fan base is not going to get an opportunity to watch him grow over the next 3 years. You know, so those types of things are unfortunate in today's world, but it's what it is. So we have to, you know, live with it and try to figure out how best to navigate it.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And you do hope that he does well, but there's all, and I'm not looking for a comment. There's also maybe a hope that after a year or something, the phone will ring and he'll want to come back. But that's for another day. Tyler, again, we only have so much time, but you talked about the money you can give him. Comment about you got to pay other guys now. So you can't dip into what they might be making, the other players. And, of course, there's an elephant in the room. It's not really an elephant because Walker Fenning is a guy that you probably had to up his ante. I don't know if you can comment on that, but point is, there's only so much you can give them. You can't disrupt the whole apple cart because you got to pay other guys.
Yeah, no, you bring up a good point. I mean, we operate within a budget, and, you know, obviously we want to retain our best players. That's been our focus since we've got here, is to keep our best players. But at the same time, you know, we want to build a competitive roster as possible. So we're not in a position or a mindset as a staff or in my role of, hey, giving 80% of our money to one guy and then figuring out what we can do with the rest of the roster. Like, we are trying to build the most competitive roster that we can. And that's the way we go about it in terms of the roster management.
Okay.
Joe, thanks for holding up that Soto sign. I really appreciate that as a Met fan.
Stop.
Thank you very much for that.
I'm not trying to rub it in. It is what it is.
Yes, you you threw Tyler off there, too.
Bob, make sure you didn't see it.
We're not on television. Joe held up an index card with the letters S-O-T-O.
Yeah.
Just the wise guy right to the end. All right. You've signed two players from other programs. Tyler is obviously integral to this. Kadir Martin is one. Marco Radunovich is another. And we'll talk about them. But you have one roster spot available still. So you've brought in two from the outside, one to go. That means if you do the math, a couple of Stags who do have eligibility will not be back. And one of those players, as we've learned, is Michael Rogan. We learned before when we talked to you, Chris, before the podcast began. Michael Rogan is not going to be back, and neither is Matt Curtis. So why don't you talk about that, Chris?
Yeah, so Mike has graduated and did a great job in his 4 years here. And Mike's going to move on to some other things now after graduation. We're going to miss him. He was a mainstay on the roster, you know, showed leadership last year and did some good things for us. So he'll be a guy we miss. And Matt Curtis will miss too. Matt is in the throes right now of deciding if he's going to remain at Fairfield or seek out another opportunity. But he's not going to be on the roster next year and with us next year.
It sounds like it was, you know, there was a lot of communication here, which is always the key to handling these kinds of situations. That goes without saying, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when the season's over, it's important to me to – let me go backwards a second. This is a collaborative effort amongst all of us, players included. Obviously, you know, I'm making decisions and I make them. But I also think it's important to get people's thoughts about certain things. You can't do it in an autocratic way. So we have meetings throughout the year with all our guys. You know, we'll have about every month or so, maybe a little less time than that, we'll have a sit down. Just talk about where you're at personally, where our team's at, what we need from you, you know, what do you need from me, that kind of thing. And it's important to do that. We have these meetings also immediately at the end of the season to try to talk about everybody's plans, what our plans are for you, where we see you, retention talks, things like that. It runs the gamut of a lot of things. So, yes, there was, like all of our players, there was conversation with Mike and Matt at the end of the season.
All right. So you have brought in two players from the outside through the portal, NIL money involved here. We'll start with Kadir Martin. He's a forward from Mercyhurst. What role will he play on this team, Chris? What kind of a player is he?
Yeah. So Kadir is a Staten Island kid. He was out at St. Peter's, and he was actually on campus when he completed high school. And we liked him out of high school. We didn't feel he was quite ready yet for what we were looking for and what we were looking to fill. We talked to him about a little bit about prep school, maybe prep in a year and some things, but he wanted to go right to college. And he's done a really, really good job of developing himself, which we thought he would. He protects the rim, blocked over 80 shots, which is a big number, finishes around the rim, which is something, you know, we talked about at the end of the year. That's something we want to improve on, is our percentage at the rim. He rebounds, which will somewhat mitigate the loss to Brandon Benjamin. And he can score a little bit, you know, and he gives you versatility. He can guard different positions on a defensive end, so you can switch things with him. Offensively, he can play a couple different positions in the front court. So we're excited about him, and he's an A-plus kid, mm-hmm. A-plus kid from an A-plus family of basketball players. You know, she's been around it his whole life. So Glenn Breaker was the lead guy on that, and, you know, Glenn's a New York guy and, you know, really just got him up here out of high school and then watched him over the last 2 years. And, you know, all of us felt really good about where he was. So he's ready to come in here and contribute for us right away.
You know, it's funny. When he was in high school, I had a buddy of mine in Staten Island, Carmack Gordon, who used to work for the Staten Island paper, wanted to see if I could help him. So I watched some video, and I was like, I liked him. I thought he was a Division II player. And, of course, I covered two of his games this year for the NEC. And, of course, as I prepped, I watched three or four games. But certainly gives you something you don't have. Talk about him. I'm looking at four front court people, not counting the freshmen. I haven't seen the freshmen. Peyton Smith, healthy, right? Back? Fully healthy, Moncotti, and of course, no one's going to take Walker Fenning's minutes away. He's going to play 35 minutes. Where do you see him fitting in? A five, a four? spot duty. I don't think he's a three. Is he not a?
No, I don't think he's ready to do that yet at the three.
Yep.
You know, that's something that he could certainly progress to, you know, during his course of the year, especially now with this 5-year eligibility rule. You know, he could progress to that. You know, he can play any position in the front court. He's got a motor, motors win, and he's a Fairfield type guy, you know. And the other part of this too is, you know, there's got to be competition. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important. 100%. There's got to be competition. That's what, you know, you need guys. I think you have to, you know, have good players on your roster, and they got to compete for minutes. You know, that's what we do. And he's definitely going to contribute to that. He adds our athleticism, so I'm excited about him.
Yeah, I thought he was very good at Mercyhurst, and Fairfield fans will like him.
Yes.
Because of the way he plays.
Yes.
So initially I thought your front court, I thought he was an undersized five, but as I thought about it, I'm like, this gives Fairfield something they don't have, and Fairfield fans will like him. And you took the words right out of mouth. There's going to be great competition in those spots, whether you call it a four or a five.
Marko Radunović, another forward, 18 games at Boston College, about 9 minutes per game there. Played professionally in Montenegro, where he's from. What are the strengths of his game, and how does he project as a Stag?
Yeah, so we wanted to get a big guard. You know, that was something that we were looking to bring in, and he's 6'7" at the guard spot. Really good off-ball screens, can make threes, handles the ball. He's physical. He's a physical driver, can guard on the perimeter, and he rebounds his position, which is important. And he kind of had an interesting case. He got to Boston College last year after the semester had started. So he really didn't have the benefit of any work in the summer, any time with the team in the summer. He basically stepped foot on campus and was thrown right into practice. We had multiple conversations with the former staff there. They all loved him. They all would have had him back. And he's what we were looking for. He's a big guard that can do multiple things. Matty Kay did a good job recruiting him. Tyler really helped with that situation with his overseas contacts and, you know, getting us some more information on him. But he's a Fairfield-type kid, too. He's got a motor. He's going to come in. He's going to work hard. He's going to add to the competition. And he gives us something that we don't have. He's different at 6'7", playing the guard spot.
Tyler, these are your first two guys, to speak. Any thoughts on either or both?
First of all, with Kadir, I think the thing that stands out about him is obviously he's a great kid, but he's very efficient. Like if you look at his numbers and, you know, what he did at Mercyhurst last year, he blocked, you know, over 80 shots a game at his size. He played the four and the five. He made a lot of, you know, baskets, good field goal percentage, and he competes. So I think he's going to give us something, you know, with the absence of Brandon moving on, to be able to play that four and that five position and just be very versatile for us. And then with Marko, like Coach said, he's a 6'6", 6'7" guard that can, you know, pass, can score, can get downhill, physical, can defend, very versatile as well. But also, like, he's hungry. He wants to compete. And, you know, he was very highly touted when he was 16, 17. Like, he had Florida State, some big-time schools looking at him. And he's from Montenegro, but he's playing over in the ABA League over there, which I know very well, which is a pretty, very competitive league in Europe. Teams in Serbia, Lithuania, places like that. And he's been playing pro since he was young. And he's had, you know, the opportunity to play against, you know, some grown men since he was a kid and develop. So his game, in my opinion, is very advanced. And if you look at our team last year with Halon playing a majority of the minutes at the three, he was kind of really the only guy with that size and length at that 6'5 area that played the three, can guard and defend and switch a little bit. I think Marko does the same thing, and I just think he's another guy that you can put the ball in his hands. He can make plays for others and also himself, and he's just a competitor. So I'm really excited that we were able to get him. We heard great things about him, and like Coach said, I reached out to some people that are very connected over in Europe, and he's actually represented by BO Basket, which is one of the biggest European agents, and they actually work with like Nikola Jokic and some big time NBA players. They have a bunch of guys that were on the Illinois team from Europe this year that were really good. So he has great, you know, great background in that sense, and I just think he's a really good competitor, and I think he's going to help us a lot, and he's going to be, you know, a fun player for fans to watch here.
So Chris, the season ends last year. You have your meetings. You're fresh off a very good season. you know, you kind of have a feel you're losing guys via graduation or eligibility and maybe Benjamin, whatever, to the NIL deal. You want to get better at certain things. At the same time, you want to play the same way. You mentioned Martin will help you finish around the rim. That's something that you wanted to get better at. He also blocks shots. So these two transfers you got, do you see them fitting into the way you want to play? Now, we haven't even talked about the freshman yet, but are you going to play differently? And what else do you need to do?
Yeah, we're going to play the same way, Joe. Like, I'm not – I there's certain things I believe in, you know, and I'm not hard-headed in the sense that, you know, we don't tweak things. We certainly do that. But, you know, I'm going to coach the way the things that I believe in work. And we bring in guys that we feel fit that. And, you know, the biggest part of this, and you're not always right, and sometimes it's hard to be right, but the biggest part of this is we're bringing in guys with motors who are hard-playing guys who have the right attitudes. That's really what I'm looking for. And I think that the freshmen we brought in are that, and the last two guys we signed are that too. So we're playing the same way. There's things we want to get better at. I'll run those down for you quickly, like what's on my mind. On the defensive end, I want to be able to pressure some more. I thought our defensive rebounding was good. I want to make it better. I want to be able to protect the rim a little bit more. I want to force a couple more. I thought we did a pretty good job of forcing some turnovers, particularly the latter part of the year, but I want to be able to force more of those to help us get out and transition. So we're going to do that defensively, and those are some areas, you know, that we want to work on. And then on the offensive end, be able to add a few more possessions in transition. I thought we got out in transition a decent amount, but I want to get out more in transition. I want to be – we did a good job with getting paint touches. I want more production from those paint touches in terms of finishes at the rim and getting fouled and going to the foul line. You know, those things I'd like to – I thought we took – a good amount of threes last year. I'm not looking to increase that drastically, but I'd like to take a couple more a game and make a couple more a game. And I'd like to keep our turnovers low, which we did. I thought we did a pretty good job of that. So we'll keep working on getting better at that. But those are the things we're looking to get better at and improve.
So we've talked a lot about the front court, and you want to pressure more, which I assume you want to pick up a little more further up in the defense, maybe pressing. How are you with your guard depth?
I think our guard depth is good. Like, you know, we have a few guys that gave us good minutes last year that are poised, I think, to make a really good jump. Tony's one of them. You know, Tony, his numbers in the tournament were fantastic. And he got better and better as the year went on. And if you look at him now, he's improved his body tremendously. He's going to continue to do that over the summer. He's showing leadership. He's going to make a jump. Eric's going to make a jump. He's poised to make a really good jump for us. He's a little different player than Braden was, but we can do some of the same things and get him into the defense a little bit more where he's a physical downhill guard, and he'll continue to improve at making threes. So I think he's poised to make a jump. I think Halon is poised to make a jump. You know, he got good minutes for us last year. He had some games where he really helped us win, not necessarily with point scoring, but with steals, blocking shots, defensive rebounding, guarding defensively, creating deflections, using his length to bother the offense. I think he's poised to make a jump. I think Nasir's poised to make a jump. You know, he didn't get a lot of minutes for us last year, and a lot of that was because of the way Braden developed and what he became. But he's poised to make a jump. So I think we got some guys back that are poised to make that jump from that freshman year to that sophomore year. And then, you know, the two perimeter guys we got coming in, I'm excited about. You know, Ja Hatchett is really good. He plays on the ball, off the ball, but he's got burst and quickness to him. And Jaden Brown had a fantastic year at Bergen Catholic. He's another Bergen Catholic guy that I think is going to do very well here. So I think he's going to be good. And then, you know, we brought Noah Best back. And Noah's got some versatility for us. He's 6'5". He's athletic. He gets deflections. He's been kind of beset with some injuries that have slowed him down. But I really think with that team a couple of years ago, he was starting to play really well And I felt like if he didn't get hurt and was able to play the entire season, which he wasn't, I feel like he would have helped us win a couple more games just because we were missing what he was. So I'm excited about our perimeter. You know, we got some guys ready to make a jump, and I think we can play. I know we can play the way I want to play.
We all know, looking at this roster, when I say we, the four of us here at this table, and our fans know when they look at this roster, you need a combo guard. That's probably a safe assumption that when you have one roster spot still to fill, it's a combo guard. So my question is to both of you, and you know, we're not looking for names, looking for potential future stags. Is there a guy out there right now that is at the top of your list that you're targeting to fill that last roster spot with the combo guard?
Can you give us names?
Yeah. So the first guy we're looking at is a kid out of the Bronx, Joe DeSantis. We're trying to get him back for some eligibility because he could really score, you know.
Second choice is Tyler Nelson.
Yeah. I got one more year left, so I'm coming back.
There's no real names. Like, that's not something we're allowed to talk about with NCAA rules. But
Still are some NCAA rules?
There's a few rules left out there. I'm not quite sure what they are all the time because they change periodically. But no, we're you know, it's a little different position than we were in last year. You know, last year was a little late, and we had to fill a lot of roster spots. This year, we have the one scholarship available. So there's really not, you know, we're looking for guys, but we're looking for the right guy. Mm-hmm. So we're in no rush to just throw a scholarship at somebody, to fill that spot. We're really trying to find the right guy, and it's got to be something that adds to our team that's different than what we have. So there's some guys we're talking to. There's some guys that have visited campus, and we'll continue to do that. And if we get the right guy, we'll take him if he wants to come. And if we don't find the right guy, I like where we're at right now.
Mm-hmm. So are you looking at high school, junior college, and guys in the transfer portal? You got a mix of...
Yeah, and add foreign guys to that, too.
Oh,
you
okay.
Know? So mm-hmm. We're looking at everything, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's a little different. It's a little different task than it was. You know, I think we have to be a little bit more selective about what we add.
Yeah, and just to add to that, we've had some guys in. We're actively recruiting for this, but I think Coach made the best point is we're being selective because we are confident in the roster that we have right now, especially with the young guys returning that have played a good amount of minutes, like the freshmen this past year. So we really want to add somebody that can fit into exactly what we want to do and think can, you know, be a difference maker and not just add someone to the roster with this spot. So we're in a good spot where, like I said, we're actively recruiting and hopefully we'll have some news soon about that.
Okay. I want to talk about the freshmen. You hit a home run last year, Chris, with the freshmen that you brought in that class. All but one of them are returning. We've already touched upon some of those names. You have four more true freshmen who will be stags this season. Again, it really looks to be an impressive group. You've already touched upon two of the guys, so we won't get redundant here. Jaden Brown, he's a two-time state champion out of a program that's now become a pipeline for Fairfield in a really good way, Birkin Catholic. And you refer to Ja Hatchett, he's another guard, and another one from a familiar school, Putnam Science. So he's a former teammate of Budda Williams. We all hope that he can turn out as well as Budda seems to be developing. So let's get to the other two. Braden Jones, he's a forward. He's a Connecticut kid. Played at East Catholic and then moved on to a prep at Brewster Academy. What are his strengths? What kind of player is Fairfield getting in him?
Well, he's got a motor for the front court, and he's got versatility. You know, you can switch things with him. He can keep guards in front of him. He rebounds, and he's physical. He's got good size. I think his body, I'm not going to say it's totally ready right now. He needs to go through the summer with us, but he's close to ready in terms of his physicality. Now, like any freshman, he's got to learn certain things, but I'm excited about him because I believe, you know, he's got a tremendous upside on the offensive end and on the defensive end. So he's going to come in and help us right away and really add to the competition because he wants to play, plays hard.
And Usamana Sacco, he is a forward out of really good New York City program, St. Francis Prep. Big guy, projects as part of what could be a really good Fairfield front court. So what do you see him as far as, boy, you talk about the competition that you're going to see in this gymnasium down the hall from us when things get up and running. He adds to that, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely going to add to that. I was at the Brooklyn Old-Timers Dinner last Friday. They were inducting some more candidates into their Hall of Fame. I wasn't there because I'm an old-timer, if anybody's thinking that. So, no, that's not the case. But it's an outstanding dinner. The drive there to Brooklyn, that's not outstanding, but the dinner itself is fantastic. But anyway, that's well attended by a lot of CHSAA guys from down in the city, and every one of them stopped me and said, hey, what a great get O is going to be for us. He's battling through an injury right now. He had to have a surgery at the end of the year. Kind of describe his toughness. He played on a broken foot, toward the end of the year. So it's a simple surgery he had, and he's going to recover 100% from it. It's going to delay him in terms of his ability for full contact in the summer. We're not quite sure how long he'll be up here for the first session to add to his rehab, but really excited about him. A lot of versatility, can shoot the ball, put it on the floor, physical. I think he's got a tremendous upside too.
Before we get into the returning players, Tyler, I wanted to ask you about your overall thoughts about this freshman class, which, again, you're part of the process of bringing these guys in.
Yeah, definitely. To speak about Braden Jones, he played at Brewster Academy. It's a great program, great competition, the highest level of high school competition. He's going to play the five. He's a big body. He's getting stronger, developing. Really excited to get him here in the summer and have him work with our guys. I think he has a big upside, and he's a great kid, works really hard. And then, as Coach said, with his injury to his foot, that's going to delay him a little bit, but he's a very, very skilled player. We've watched some film on him. Coach Breka, did a great job recruiting him. He put up some really big numbers in that high school league there in New York, and I think he's a really, really talented player. Once we get him here as well and get him healthy, I think he'll be someone that can really help us. And then Jaden Brown, who I watched this year, who I think is super, super talented, a wing, long, athletic, still growing into his body. Another guy, for all these freshmen, getting here in the summer and getting them, in front of you and working out and lifting weights and everything is a big step, from that transition to high school to college. So to have those guys will be great. But he's a very, very skilled player, can shoot the ball, has a great feel for the game. And then Ja Hatchett is just a true point guard, in my opinion. I think he sees the floor really well. He played at Putnam Science, similar player to Tony in terms of being able to, be pass first and set his teammates up. Great kid, hard worker. So I'm excited about these guys. I think they're going to all be good additions to the team when they get here, and they're really going to, make an impact.
Bob, you haven't mentioned the C word yet.
Joe just held up a card that said, and he spelled it right, continuity. And you know what? That's we. Joe and I talked when we came over here.
He's got a Fairfield education. Of course he's going to spell that right.
Back in the day, anyone got one of those.
But, Joe brings up a good point. You guys both have to be really excited about the fact that in the day and age, when it is a real luxury to have continuity from one year to the next, you have it here.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're trying to do. We've talked about that a couple times on the podcast, and Paul and his team here and the president, all the administrators, they're all support that. This is a place where you want to have continuity. I think it's that type of university, it's that type of fan base, and I know at this level if you can have some continuity, it gives you a chance to be good. Particularly if you retain some of your best guys. There's value to the education here. It's a great experience for guys off the court. There's terrific people at this school. So as much as we can retain guys, we want to do that. And I truly believe now if this fifth-year rule goes in, where guys now have 5 years of eligibility, I think it helps you do that. I think what you get now, a lot of, and the portal's full of it right now, is you have guys who are freshmen in mid-level programs who maybe don't get the minutes that they want, and they jump right into a portal and then put themselves in a difficult situation, as opposed to having stick-to-itiveness and, making it work out. I think that's a little bit lacking sometimes with guys in that situation. There's a lot of times you just have to make it work out. So we're hopeful that, we can continue to retain good players and good people, and that's only going to help the program.
So your philosophy right now is considered different. And last year, I was maybe one of the critics of the fact that you had so many freshmen, and I just didn't think you'd be able to compete with everyone getting older kids. And I was wrong, and I told you that. I've said that. You brought in a great group. So do you – and this is a little bit of a question maybe you don't have to answer. You won't answer either one of you guys. Do you find yourself with the philosophy of having continuity and going after freshmen outbidding most of your competition for the freshmen in terms of NIL money?
Let me start on that one, Tyler. Yeah. I don't know if there's an outbid to it. You know, I think what happens with freshmen right now is if your program is projecting to have 5 or 6 scholarships open at the end of the year, you're probably recruiting some freshmen. If your program misses out on a couple guys that you were hoping to get early, maybe a junior college kid, maybe a higher level high school kid, maybe you take a high school kid. So, but there's not a lot of schools that are actively going after high school kids in the early period. Mm-hmm. Like in my mind, I think what has to happen is if you project that you're going to graduate 3 guys or 3 guys are leaving the program, I think you should try to sign 3 guys early. You know, if you have 4, you should try to sign 4. If you have 2, you should try to sign 2. That's what you should try to do. That does 2 things. It allows you to get a very good high school player early. You're going to have him for the whole summer, which is going to help him and help him be able to contribute. And it also gives you a cushion at the end of the year with the portal. You know, if you have some guys going in the portal, because you already have guys committed to the program. So that's kind of the way I look at it, Joe. We're not exclusively saying, hey, we have to have high school kids early. You know, we're out in the junior colleges early and looking at JUCO kids early. I think those guys are very under-recruited, you know, and they get a bad rap sometimes. They're very mature young men. They're used to riding 7-8 hours in vans to games, you know, having a blimpy sandwich after a game. And so what they get, they're very appreciative of. And I think there's a lot of good ones out there. So, you know, we're recruiting that early too. So it's not just the high school kids. We want good basketball players and we want good people. And, you know, if it happens to be 3 high school kids, that's what we'll do. If it happens to be 3 junior college kids, we'll do that.
Yeah, I think it's the thing I think about is like balance. Like we want to recruit the guys that we want, whether they're JUCO, transfers, freshmen. Like once you start recruiting a kid and you think that he fits into your system and you can develop him, I think that's when you go after him. And like the NIL side of it is, especially at the mid-major level, you know, a lot of schools are at our level looking to replace, you know, 6 to 8 scholarships every cycle. And we haven't really had to do that because we've recruited kids well that want to be here. Fairfield's a great place. They want to play for coach. And they see that development when they get here and how much better they get. So they want to stay here. Obviously, you know, at the end of the day, if a kid does really well, and if you look, pretty much everyone that was all conference in the MAC this year transferred to somewhere else for more money for NIL reasons. But at the same time, like where we are at Fairfield, we want to recruit kids to be here and kids want to be here. So in terms of the recruiting side of it, it doesn't matter if they're a freshman, a transfer, a JUCO. Like once you start recruiting a kid and you have a vision and you think that they can be a part of the team and the system, then that's really when you go all in. And the NIL piece is kind of just kind of the cherry on top to be able to be in a position where we can go out and get guys that we really want.
Well, as a result of that philosophy, we have, Joe, the C word, continuity. And in to quantify it, you have 8 players from last year who are back. And Chris, you've already touched upon 3 of those 8, giving us quick summaries of where Butter Williams is at right now and what he contributed and what he can do and the ceiling for Halon Rawlins and Noah Best. So I just wanted to quickly run down the others that we did not hit upon yet. And the question is simple enough. What do you want to see from them from today till when you tip off in November in terms of progress, and maybe even touch upon the ceiling for these guys? Again, you already addressed Butter and Halon and Noah. So let's start with Eric Mejia.
So again, I think Eric's a guy that's poised to make a jump. He's what I'm looking for from him is some improved 3-point shooting. And by the way, these are all conversations that we have directly with the players too. Right. So it's not a talking out of school situation. So he did a lot of really good things and he helped us win some games. I want to see a little bit more improved 3-point shooting. I also think he maybe passes up threes at times. I want him to continue to drive the ball. He does a really good job of getting the ball to the paint, a higher percentage on his finishing at the rim, I think, and add free throw attempts to that on the offensive end. On the defensive end, I thought he really did a good job of for us off the bench, pressuring the ball and being active defensively and being physical defensively, coming up with 50-50s. I wanted him to continue to be able to do that. He did defensive rebound the ball for us. I want him to do that even more. When our guards defensive rebound, that gets us out in transition, so that helps us. So I want him to continue to do more of that and then continue to be the good person that he is. I mean, he's one of the guys that, you know, you see him in the gym on a daily basis working on his game. So just continue to be the same guy that he's been.
Nasir Rodriguez.
Nasir is another guy I think poised to make a jump. Is there, Tyler, a guy in the gym more than Nasir? I mean, every time I go by there, he's in there.
So. Yeah, he has been in there. I mean, he's a kid that definitely, you know, stayed in the gym. He's worked really hard. He's got a good mindset, you know, in for this summer to develop, and he sees the opportunity there to, you know, play a little bit with, you know, the guys that are graduating and moving on, and there's a little bit of a role for him there. So, yeah, he's been in the gym a lot. He shoots it really well. He didn't really get a chance to exactly show that because, you know, he's playing sparingly minutes throughout the year, but he's a kid that has a lot of potential, and, you know, I think he has a lot more to show.
Yeah, he's got upside, Bob, and, you know, the things I'm looking for him is continue to shoot the ball well from three, do a little bit better job of getting to the rim, you know, and finishing at the rim. And then defensively, he got better as the year went on in practice and picking up what we're doing. I want to see him be able to be a physical on-ball defender and, you know, be really good off the ball on ball screen situations. So I'm expecting him to make a big jump too.
You know, one guy who we saw make that jump in the latter part of the season last year was one of your bigs, Isaac Moncotti. What about him?
Yeah, Isaac did make a jump, and he was fantastic when we had Brandon out with injury for those couple games. He was, in fact, getting some workouts in this morning. So, Isaac, a couple things I want to see from him. I want to see him defensively be able to guard for long periods of time without fouling. I think that's going to be important for him. He fouled a little bit too much, you know, and there were times you wanted to keep him in the game, but he grabs two quick fouls in the first half, so you have to sit him down. So I want to see him get better at guarding without fouling, and he will through experience. I think his ball screen coverage got better as the year went on. I want him to continue to be good at that. I want to see him defensively take another step in keeping guards in front of him if we get into X-ing situations, which he's done well at times and at times gets a little off balance with. So I want to see him continue to work with that. And I think he's going to get better at that just based on experience. On the offensive end, more finishes at the rim, a higher rim finish total, and then being able to make a perimeter shot. Like I encourage him to, on step-ups when he pops, to shoot a three. You know, he hasn't done a lot of that, but he's capable of doing it. If you watch him, you know, in workout, he's capable of making a three. So I want to see him progress with that. And then I want to see him improve his running, like get up and down the floor on both ends, like get a chase down block from behind. And it's not that he doesn't do those things, because he does. I want to see him do it more consistently. Get a chase down block, sprint the floor, and plug holes in transition defense. Sprint the floor on offense, like get to the rim, get early post-ups. Those are some things I want to see from him, and he's going to do those things just based on opportunity and experience next year.
If Fairfield has one X factor this year, and this guy may be an X factor in the MAC, because when we saw Peyton Smith as a freshman, we thought this was a guy who had all MAC potential for years to come. But obviously injuries have derailed him in great part. But let's first ask about his health. And what do you see Peyton becoming if he can stay healthy this year?
Yeah, he's done a good job of recovering from injury. Unfortunately, he's a guy that's been beset with a couple injuries, and it's caused him to be some out for some time. Most recently, you know, the knee injury that he had. The one thing I notice with Peyton now, he was able to practice towards the end of the year. He's probably in the best shape I've seen him in since he's been here, which I think is a key for him, and it's a conversation we have with him repeatedly. Sometimes when you're not in great condition, you're susceptible to getting hurt because you're a step behind things and, you know, you get injury because of it. He's in the best shape I've seen him in. He's got to continue to improve that. I'm excited about what he can possibly do for us on the offensive end. You know, he's got feel. He's got touch. Going back to where he was before he was beset with the injuries, I think things he's got to improve on is finishing at the rim. Like, he's got to be a guy that finishes at the rim and gets himself to the foul line when he gets those touches around the basket. He's another guy I'd like to see be able to, you know, pick, pop, make a three. He's capable of doing that. And then defensively, rebounding out of his area. He needs to become a terror on the defensive glass. Like, he'll get some because of his size that are right around him. I want to see him going after the ball and getting defensive rebounds out of his area and just becoming a terror on the defensive glass and on the offensive glass too, not accepting a block out, but getting around the guy that's blocking out and going to get his hands on a ball, and even if he can't grab it, being able to keep it alive. So, you know, those would be the things we're looking for from him.
And finally, Declan Walker-Fenech. This is a guy who obviously has first-team All-MAC potential. What does he need to do to hit that potential this year?
Deck is fantastic. You know, he's a extremely talented player. Obviously, he's an even better person if you spend some time around that young man. He's just a pleasure to be around and to coach. What I want to see him do on the defensive end, continue to work on his switching and keeping guards in front of him on a consistent basis. Again, he's good at that, and he does it. I want to see him be able to do it really consistently and do it all the time. On the defensive end, continue to defensive rebound the way he does. That's going to be really, really important for us, for him to go get defensive rebounds. He's a guy that goes out of his area and gets them, and he gets them with two hands in traffic. So I want to see him keep doing that. I want to see him continue to improve off the ball, you know, and be a guy that maybe gets us a couple more deflections per game with his activity. And again, those are things he does. I want to see him do those things a little bit more. Offensively, on the offensive end, keep going to the offensive glass, getting us rebounds. I want to see him be more aggressive offensively and a little more of an offensive alpha. I think there's times he's such a good kid that he passes up opportunities to shoot the ball or drive the ball. So I want to see him do a little bit more of that. I'd like to see him, you know, take two more threes a game and make one more a game. I think he's capable of doing that. I thought his three-point shooting really improved in the second half of the year as he adjusted to the speed of the game. So I want to see a little bit more of that from him too. And then, you know, he passes the ball well. So continue to play make when you have an opportunity.
All right, finally, a couple of players not returning. Ryan Zan, understand he's on his way to play at New Hampshire. And Cam Estevez, don't yet know where his next stop will be. But your thoughts on those players and their departures?
Yeah, Ryan really helped us in spots this year. A couple times he helped us. The Sacred Heart game away comes to mind, where he plugged in and did a great job for us with foul trouble. So he's helped us in a few spots. You know, we're going to miss him. Extremely hardworking young man, Fairfield-type guy, wanted a different opportunity. And, you know, we support that 100% and wish him well. And Cam did some things for us early. Unfortunately, it didn't work out as the season went on. Those four freshmen really blossomed in those starting roles. And the fact that we continued to win didn't make me think about changing anything. So he's going to look for new opportunities, and we wish him well, too.
I think we've covered everything as far as personnel is concerned. That leaves one other subject as we get ready to call it a year on the podcast. Not literally a year. We'll be back pretty soon, just a few months from now. But that would be the schedule. Full disclosure, we know you told us beforehand. There really is nothing to talk about, and that's just not a line from you. It is really hard right now as a mid-major, especially one coming off a 21-win season, to get competition and get teams lined up. So talk about what you know as far as the schedule is concerned, Chris, and what you want to do.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple things on scheduling. First of all, with the portal, especially with the portal being later now, before kids could go in it, it was cut down at 2 weeks. Scheduling has even been moved more on the back burner by a lot of programs. You know, they'll talk about it, but in terms of committing to things, not so much. And you're correct, Bob. It's been a little bit difficult to you know, the lateness of the scheduling and the fact that we had a good season, it makes it a little bit more difficult to entice teams to play. So here's what we're looking at right now. In the preseason, the NCAA has changed the rule where you can go to three exhibition games or scrimmages. We're looking to try to take advantage of that and have a couple of exhibition games. Ideally, I'd like to have one exhibition at home, one exhibition on the road, and then a scrimmage. Not necessarily in that order, but those are the three things I'd look for in the preseason to take advantage of that rule. So we're working on that. In terms of actual game scheduling, what happens now with the game scheduling, it's hard to get teams, but nobody's signing the contract real quick. So until we have the actual signed contracts in our hands where the opponents are committing to play, I really can't, you know, go into this school, that school, and these are the guys we're trying to get. So, and we don't have signed contracts right now. We have a couple of verbal commitments, but we don't have signed contracts yet. And that's not unusual. You usually don't get those until, you know, the spring and the summer begins. But we are looking, we have one team in our MTE. We're looking for a second team. So that MTE will continue for next year. We are looking for another road game, which will be part of a new home-and-home series, so we're working on that. We are looking for two guarantee games, two higher-level teams that we can travel and go play, so we're working on that. And then we need one additional home game, which would be the start of a home-and-home series. It'd be a team that we would work to have come here next year, and then we would return the game the following year. So we are in decent shape with the schedule, considering the time of year. But those are the things we're working on right now.
So you just clarified there will be another Mahoney Classic. The MTE is taking form. It just need that one team. What about return games, either way, home or on the road? Any contracts that are still outstanding with schools?
Yeah, well, we'll have NJIT will be here to play. Now you're going to make me think, Bob, because I usually have that up on my whiteboard and look at it every day. So my whiteboard is not in this room. Tyler, jumping here if I'm forgetting anybody. But NJIT would be a return game. They'd be coming out back to us and playing. Lemoyne will be back playing at home. We'll have, as the league permits, we'll have another Division III opponent, and that will be a home game. This year, we're the league has put together an America East Challenge, so there'll be a select number of schools in our conference, the MAC, that will play against America East schools. Not every team in the MAC will participate in the challenge because there's an uneven amount of teams when you compare the MAC number of teams to the America East number of teams. But we are selected to play in that next year, so we'll get a home game, which we don't know who that will be yet. It'll be an America East opponent, and we'll have to travel for an America East game on the road. We don't know that opponent yet either. We just know dates. Did I forget anything there, Tyler, in terms of teams?
Well, you played Columbia at home. Are you done with them?
That was the end of a series, Joe. Yeah, we played them early on.
And Monmouth at home.
And Monmouth, that one was the second game in a series, too. So that series is done.
And who are you playing in the MTA? Can you name that team? Or who do you have in the MTA?
Yeah, until I get contracts, okay. Joe, yeah, I'm not trying to be evasive, yeah. But things can change really quick. So until I have a contract in hand, I'm not really going to talk about teams.
Yeah, there's a couple other teams, but like Coach said, in terms of when it's done, we can officially say it. But okay. It should be a good tournament.
All right, well, save that for the opening podcast of next year. And that brings us to the point in the podcast. I'll actually open this up to Tyler as well. Any final words, Joe and or Tyler?
You go first, big man.
Oh, first, thanks for having me on. It's like I said, I've been listening to these the last couple cycles with the guys and everything to finally be on and, you know, give the fans that are probably wondering, you know, what I'm doing every day and a little breakdown of my job description and what it is and just trying to, you know, add on to this team and the staff. And it's been great to be back. And obviously with NIL changing so much in college sports, I can say that we're in a great spot here at Fairfield in terms of our resources, in terms of how we're going about it, in terms of our contracts, all these different things that we have set in stone. So we're in a good spot, and I'm looking forward to all the guys that we've added this year. I think we're going to have a really fun team to watch and a competitive team next year, so it'll be excited to get to it.
Joe? My turn? Well, first of all, early in the podcast, you mentioned, Chris, about having to invite, you know, trying to get alums back. Well, you got one in front of you, you can't get rid of him. I'm like luggage. You can't get rid of him. Second of all, it's really fun having been a part of Fairfield, Bob. I know you and I have talked about this, to watch Fairfield evolve. You know, I don't mind saying this. For many years, I thought Fairfield was a little bit behind in terms of competing with teams on this level, with the facility, with the admission requirement, and now just to see the jump that the school is making with the commitment to the NIL is really, really fun. I do have a couple quick things. Walk-ons, where we at with that, and coaching. Coaching, anybody leaving, anybody bringing in, anything, any updates or changes with those people behind the scenes?
All right, couple things on that. With the house settlement and the opt-in, it precludes you from replacing walk-ons, right? So any program that had existing walk-ons could keep them, but when one of those walk-ons graduate, you're not permitted to now replace the walk-on. So we'll lose Luke Davidson to graduation.
And you'll miss him.
And we'll miss him a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll miss him a lot. We have two other terrific walk-ons in Joe Ganton and in Tanner. Both of those guys do a great job for us, so they'll be back and we'll retain them. So that's the walk-on situation. I do wish that was a different rule, because you guys have been to practice. You know, we utilize those guys in a manner where they can, you know, they help us with you know, certain defensive drills when we're trying to get rote reps of guarding ball screens, guarding zoom actions, guarding screening actions. They help us with guarding the other team's, you know, system, whatever it is. They're a tremendous job. And what it allows me to do is just not keep the flow of practice going. I don't have to stop practice to teach somebody, you know, what we're doing. This is the pattern. Now guard it, you know. So I really do wish they would look at that and change that, because there are some young guys that would do a great job for us and have expressed an interest in doing it, but unfortunately I can't do anything with them. Coaching staff will all be back to this point. Excited about that. I'm fortunate to be working with not only terrific coaches, but some top-notch people too. And I love the atmosphere they help create. So they'll all be back.
Well, we have set a new record here. This is the longest podcast we've ever had. And you know what? It's a good thing. And part of it is because you were here, Tyler. And
thank you.
I think, Joe, you were talking about how you've watched Fairfield basketball evolve with Tyler here sitting to your left. I think you have the personification of that great, you know, two of the all-time greats here at Fairfield. And one of them now is in a key role here within the program. And, of course, Joe, it's great to have you.
Luggage.
I was going to say the Samsonite factor here.
Bob, Joe, if I can jump in real quick, too, I'm going to give one final word, too. And I don't know how much you guys get this, but I truly believe it. I thank you, Joe, and I thank you, Bob, for the work you do with this program. I think you guys do a very professional job. You do an outstanding job. I think you're both very fair. And I just appreciate the work that you do for the program on and off the court. So on behalf of the whole staff, I thank both of you guys for what you do.
I appreciate it. But believe me, it's a labor of love. I know it's a cliche, and I hate going that route, but it's true. And the other thing is, Joe, you can back me up on this. There are good people here. It's pretty
very
easy
much
to
so.
Do mm-hmm. a job like this when you're surrounded by good people. And again, I mean that very sincerely. And that'll do it for this edition of Open Court, our final one of the season with Chris Casey. So we'll be back about 5 months from now and do it all over again. So Chris, again, thank you for all your cooperation, transparency, and your help all season. Tyler, great spending time with you here on the podcast, and love having you around all the time now. And continued luck in your new role. Our thanks to Zach Dayton, Drew Kingsley. They worked behind the scenes to put this thing on. And also our thanks to Carlton Best sitting in today and really thanking his lucky stars for being part of the longest podcast of the season. And Joe, thanks to you. As John Sterling, the late and great John Sterling, would say, isn't it amazing we're about to start our 20th year together? I mean, that's hard to believe, but it goes by quickly. So that'll do it for us, as we want to save our most sincere of all thank yous to the people who matter to us the most, and that is, of course, our loyal and dedicated and great Fairfield basketball fans. So enjoy the off season. We'll see you soon, and that'll be next October. In fact, right here on Open Court. Have a good summer, everybody.